Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our 44th study in the book of Genesis. And we come today to Genesis 46, verse 28. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're going to read today. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up right where we left off, Genesis 46, verse 28. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph, to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot, and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him, and fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. You know, just like I cannot possibly add anything to this verse without destroying it, so Joseph and his dad could at first say absolutely nothing. It is what it is. What a great thing God has done. After 22 years, they are reunited. 30. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." This is the greatest thing that Joseph could ever experience, as far as he is concerned. It's all downhill after this. So Joseph says, or Jacob says, "I can die now." This is the highlight of his life. He needs to see nothing else. 31. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. The Egyptians, with their high-class civilization, look down on shepherds.'" That's okay. That's one reason God moved them there. 33. "So it shall be, when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' that you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" So, both God and Joseph wanted to keep the family of Jacob from mixing in with the Egyptians. This is working out great. They have plenty of food. They are away from the ungodly Egyptians and from the sinful Canaanites. They are by themselves in Goshen, and that is where they will grow to be a nation. Chapter 47, verse 1. "Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are in the land of Goshen.'" Pharaoh knew Joseph's family was coming. And now Joseph tells him that they have arrived. He tells Pharaoh that they have stopped in Goshen, allowing Pharaoh to decide where they should go from there. Verse 2. "And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh." These five represent the entire family. If the king has any questions regarding Joseph's family, they should be able to answer them. Good manners is what this is. Verse 3. "Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.'" Joseph had told his brothers that the king would ask them what they did for a living. And, you know, that was the usual question asked to immigrants in Egypt, no matter where they came from. It was asked so that they could be sent to the right area. Verse 4. "And they said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.'" They didn't come to stay forever. They came to stay for a while. Sons of Jacob knew the Holy Land was given to them by God. They just wanted to ride out this famine in Egypt. Verse 5. "Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you, Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chiefs herdsmen over my livestock." For the most part, Egyptian parents wanted their sons to be anything when they grew up, except a shepherd. That's why the king is in the market for a good one. He will hire Joseph's brothers, if they're good at it. Verse 7, "Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the ruler of the world's superpower, receives the blessing of a 130-year-old lowly shepherd. The Bible says the greater person blesses the less important person. And God is reminding us here that no matter how humble a Christian is, they are of more importance to Him than even some big-shot world ruler who does not know Him. Verse 8, "Pharaoh said to Jacob, 'How old are you?' And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.'" And the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Jacob says his days have been full of evil. True. And much of it resulted from him doing things his way instead of God's way. 10. "So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded." It is called Ramses because later on, after the Israelites are made slaves, they will be forced to build a city there called Ramses. 12. And it says, "Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families." Joseph was a good son and a kind brother, so he gave his family all the food that they needed. They didn't have to worry about their needs being met. Verse 13. "Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine." After 2 years of famine, the only places that had food were the storehouses that Joseph built. As a result, the people were desperate and they're discouraged. And believe me, when a populace is desperate and discouraged, a nation is going to be unstable. This could be a real dangerous time. 14. "And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh's money built the storehouses and paid men to fill them. Pharaoh's money paid men to protect the storehouses, so Pharaoh's government was paid for the grain the people received. 15. "So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed.'" The people are broke, and so they ask for free food. 16. "Then Joseph said, 'Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year." The cattle were worthless to the Egyptians at this point. The cattle were just as hungry as the people, and there was no food for either. And now Pharaoh has seen with his eyes what several years earlier he had saw in his dreams. Pharaoh's livestock are all gaunt and bony, worthless. 18. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands." In year 7 of the famine, the people tell Joseph that all that they have is their bodies and their land. Yeah, and their bodies are starving and their land is desolate. 19. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. The people need to get through the seventh year. If they can get seed from Joseph and plant their crops, they know they will have a harvest the next year, according to the word of God. And so they sell themselves, and they sell their land in exchange for seed. You know, possessions are nice, but we are reminded from this that the really important thing is life itself. 20. Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Someone says, I don't get it. Why didn't Joseph give them what they wanted for free, or what they needed for free? Because unless someone is physically disabled, any government program that gives someone something for nothing is unscriptural. And because it's unscriptural, it'll create more problems than it solves. 22. Only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they did not sell their land. Joseph did not make an exception with the priest because he respected their religion or because he was superstitious about taking their land or something like that. Fact is, they were already on the government payroll. The king had always given them food, so they had no need to sell their land. Verse 23. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. They sold themselves and their land, but the king allowed them to stay on their land and farm it. So, in effect, they become tenant farmers. 24. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your households, and as food for your little ones. And so the people got to keep 80%, and they gave the government 20%. 25. So they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Getting to keep 80% of their harvest is really a pretty good deal for those who are supposed to be slave labor. Joseph saved their lives, plus he's providing a very generous way for their needs to be met. Joseph is using his authority to make other people's lives better. Verse 26. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priest only, which did not become Pharaoh's. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but these Egyptian slaves probably paid less taxes to the government than we do. You add up your sales tax, your income tax, your property tax, your gas tax. At least in the state of Wisconsin where I'm making this message, it's probably closer to 50% here in the year 2005. I believe we'll stop right there for today. We'll pick up our study in verse 27 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.